This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Locatora Radio. Locatora Radio. Locatora Radio. Mommies of Myth and Bullshit. A radiophonic novela.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Muñoz
and Diosa Fem.
Hola, hola, locamores. Welcome to season 5 of Locatora Radio, Podcasteras Peligrosas. Listen at your own risk.
Locatora Radio is a radiophonic novela, which is just a very extra way of saying
a podcast. I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
Welcome to season 5. This is our first capítulo of 2021. We're so excited to be back.
We're super excited. We took a tiny little break. But while we were on our break, we did relaunch some of our remastered classic Locatora Radio capítulos. And I hope you had a chance to tune in to those vintage Locatora sounds.
Yes, vintage Locatora. I love it.
It's only been 4 years, but we have vintage episodes.
We do. We really do. We really do. And if you missed us, and you haven't been following us across socials, head on over basically everywhere and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Locatora_radio. And if you're on Clubhouse, the new and exclusive app, you can also follow us there.
And if you're looking for a fandom drain, which I hope you are, if you aspire to be our human wallet, you can escort yourself to our Venmo and drop some cash at Locatora-radio. As a reminder, it's 2021 and this shit is still free. So hit the Venmo if you appreciate indie podcasting.
Also, just a quick reminder that we still have a wonderful affiliate code with our favorite Latina-owned makeup brand, Vive Cosmetics, and you can use our code LocatoraRadio15. That's one word, LocatoraRadio15, and get some money off of your next purchase at vivecosmetics.com.
We love Vive Cosmetics, another Latina-owned makeup brand company, and Vive never fails us. Like, we have now been working with Vive for a few years. All of their products hit. All of their products are reliable. Their lippies really don't go anywhere. So thank you to Vive Cosmetics.
Yes, we love them. Anyway, y'all, so we're excited to, you know, get back into the swing of things and also bring back a listener favorite, one of our favorite segments, Oye Locas.
It's been a while since we've done an Oye Locas, so I'm excited. We do have a couple of questions from our listeners, and the first one is, how do you stay happy and sane during the pandemic? That's a great question, and now that we're a year into it, maybe our answers have changed. Diosa, how do you stay happy and sane in the pandemic?
You know, I think I'm figuring this out. This is like an ongoing question that I ask myself because it changes. And I think giving yourself that flexibility is fine. Like some things that worked over the summer of last year may not work now. I spent a lot of 2020 like being very active in the sense that I was like doing projects, working out daily, working out two times a day, walking the dogs, doing the whole thing. I felt like to fill a lot of the spaces during my day, I would schedule a lot of things for myself. And that was really helpful for me. Now I'm like slowing things down, you know, and it's really interesting to start a new year with that kind of mindset. Because I think in the before times, for me, a new year always meant like the top of the new year was all about like hustling, setting my goals, feeling motivated. But because we're in a pandemic and a lot happened for me, like the end of 2020, that I just started this year, like taking it day by day, you know, easing into things and just allowing myself that grace and literally reminding myself that it is okay to have downtime, to take it easy and really like push back on that, like, girl boss mindset, you know, that toxic positivity, that go get it, hustle and go get it mentality. It doesn't work all the time and it's not always productive or conducive to our mental health.
Very true. Very true. I agree with you that maybe some of the things that were working before are not even really an option right now. So there was still some level of, for me anyways, comfort with like going on a picnic or like doing more roller skate meetups. I'm still roller skating. That's still keeping me sane and happy. But things are just more and more like individual and done in isolation and done alone as we progress because things haven't been getting better in LA as far as COVID numbers and the pandemic. It was raining a lot. Like a week or two ago, and it was raining like torrential downpours. Like, and as Angelinos, we exaggerate about the weather a lot, but they were torrential downpours. So we were inside. I was inside. I didn't leave that whole week while it was raining. I just stayed in.
Yeah. What is the point, honestly? That I feel like Angelinos shut down when it rains, and I see it every time it rains, and you know, that's compounded by a pandemic. You really see less and less people outside when it's raining plus a pandemic. But yeah, I feel like in LA, people forget how to drive or people would want to drive super fast as if the roads aren't wet. Yep. And it's very interesting. We really don't know how to function when it's not sunny outside. So I will say that that stereotype is true about Angelina.
It's true. It's real. I own it as just part of our identity and our global brand as people from LA County, the greater LA area. It's just how we roll.
Yeah. You know, okay. Not to veer off of subject too much. Did you feel we're in February now, we're at the top of February. Did you feel like we did not have a winter this year?
Interesting. I felt like, for me, the things that really make the season wintertime are the holidays and the gatherings. Without them, there's not much besides some rain and pulling out my little space heater that like makes it winter. That's it. So it didn't really feel like the winters that we induce, that we're used to. I would say, yeah.
Okay, so we have another question for our Oye Loca segment, and it's about Valentine's Day. How do we plan on celebrating Valentine's Day this year? Mala, do you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. As the resident single of Locatora Radio. I'm actually going to be co-moderating a clubhouse room called Very Much Single on Valentine's Day, February 14th, with my friend and co-moderator, Lorianne Stacy, the LA Stacy. This clubhouse room, Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific time, 9 p.m. Eastern time, every Sunday. And on Valentine's Day, we're just going to be talking to all the single souls who show up. And if there are any unsingles, aka couples in there, I would also love that, because what's going on your end that you're in the singles clubhouse room? But all are welcome. And if you are in a couple, come and be helpful. Like, come with advice, come with tips, come with referrals, come with a network of other singles that you're trying to share. But that's what I'm going to be doing. Also, in my family, my mom has always been the type to give us little Valentines and give us cards and chocolates and stuff within the family. And we've always done that, is like give each other little gifts. So that's what I'll be doing with my family.
Same. My mom is the same way. She, when I was little for Valentine's Day, I mean, even now as an adult, she like has always given me like a card, a little like detallito on Valentine's Day. It's always very thematic, you know, Valentine's Day related. It's not just like a random gift. It's specific to Valentine's Day. So yeah, I think that I've practiced that with my loved ones as well, like with my friends and with my family. I like to give little presents on Valentine's Day. So I'll be doing that. I kind of want to get a little creative this year and like make something. So we'll see. I'm like thinking about it. And then in terms of like Valentine's Day itself, I mean, it's obviously very different this year because you're not going out to dine, or we're not going out to dine. Last year we went to this like little bougie Peruvian restaurant that had just opened. And then we went to Soho House. So you know.
Oh, yes. I remember your Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Right. So like very different this year. I also live here with my family. So it's like not like we can have, I mean, we could have dinner here, but it'll be a family dinner. So, which is fine too. So I don't really know what that's like, but I know that I will be making stuff for my friends and figuring that out.
That's really cute. I love when you get into your craft mode, because I'm like, okay, what is she gonna whip up next? Like, what can we expect? I'm excited.
Yes, thank you. I will keep you posted. I mean, you would be on the receiving end of the present of the craft. So,
thank you. Thank you so much. So that was Oye Locas. Remember, you guys can always send us questions via email, hola@locatoraradio.com. You can DM us on Instagram @locatora_radio. Email is best. And you can always add the subject line, Oye Locas, so we know that you want your question to be featured on a capítulo.
Yes. If you have been following us since 2020, you know that we were hosting Oye Locas on our IG Live. And, you know, we did that because we thought the pandemic was going to last a couple of months, not the entire year. So now, you know, we're bringing it back to the capítulos.
Yeah, we'll talk more about the pandemic in later in the episode. But there's a few things that we really thought, okay, we're going to do some short coverage of this thing, but it's still here, right? So we're kind of going back to our regularly scheduled programming in many ways, because fuck it, what can we do?
Gotta keep going. And on that note, we are bringing back another listener favorite called Weird Things White Women Did This Week. Mala, get us started, please.
Yes, to be quite honest with you, there are so many examples that we could have pulled from to populate this capítulo's installment of Weird Things White Women Did This Week, but we decided to focus specifically maybe on the weirdest white woman of the current news cycle, and that's Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. She's a QAnon darling and honestly a raving right-wing shitster. She has been making comments about basically endorsing assassinations of Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi. She's also been on video harassing school shooting survivors from Parkland, including David Hogg. And, you know, we recently watched AOC's IG Live, where she detailed the horrific experience she had during the Capitol insurrection and how unsafe she felt, how she wasn't sure if the Capitol police were there to help or harm her, and how she was genuinely concerned that her fellow elected officials, especially Republican elected officials, were seeking to do harm to her and other Democrats. So to then have this Congresswoman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, speaking very plainly about how, yeah, she endorses the assassination of Democrats, it's wild, it's dangerous, it's not cool.
Right. I mean, this is a great example, for lack of a better phrase, right, of the conspiracy theorist having real life repercussions, right? That all of the vitriol and hate that is directed at Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez has real life consequences, right? And for us on, and not even just on the far left, right? For us as women, as survivors, as Latinas, as women of color, the death threats like aren't outrageous. Like we're not like shocked, we're not surprised, and that's sad, right? There are people that, there are conservatives, there are conspiracy theorists that believe that she's making this up. And for us, we're like, yeah, it makes sense. You know, it's awful. It doesn't make it right, but we don't doubt her story. Like this is like common, unfortunately. This isn't that wild or far-fetched for us. Like we know that this is plausible based on the vitriol that's directed at her.
Absolutely. And also, you know, backed up and felt by other women of color who hold public office, for example, Ayanna Pressley. Like these women have also spoken to how unsafe they have felt, how they felt targeted, and not only that they felt unsafe or targeted, but like the evidence being there that right-wing Trump supporters were genuinely and actively targeting them. Right, this is like beyond individual women feeling paranoid or just feeling unsafe. It's them acknowledging that, no, there are truly attempts at their lives being organized and made and encouraged by people in high places like Marjorie Taylor Greene. And she's not the only one, but her name has been in the news a lot recently. Luckily, it looks like the House did exile Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from congressional committees, blacklisting her. She's a first-term Georgian. Blacklisting for endorsing the executions of Democrats and spreading dangerous and bigoted misinformation, even as fellow Republicans rallied around her. And that's from the New York Times. So it's also important, I think, for us to talk about all the complicity around Marjorie Taylor Greene, how many Republicans are basically very comfortable giving her the keys to the kingdom. And as a reminder, nobody took Donald Trump seriously at first, but the Republican endorsement of him and the enabling of his fuck shit got us to where we are now. So I think Marjorie is one to watch. Let's be careful with this one.
I agree. I also want to add another white woman to Weird Things White Women Did, because we brought up Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez's live stream or her IG live. Alyssa Milano was in the comments and she, you know, left a comment like holding space, acknowledging Congresswoman AOC and the trauma she was sharing and what she went through. And then at one point, when AOC brings up that she went to Congresswoman Katie Porter's office, Alyssa Milano in the comments is like, oh, did she have her whiteboard with her? And I'm like, why are you making a joke right now? Like, you can't make a lighthearted joke. You can't joke at all when someone is sharing their trauma and their lived experience and is visibly shaken up, you know, as they're detailing this very traumatic event. And so I want to add her to the list of weird things white women did. Don't ever do that, regardless if you're white or not. Don't ever make a joke like that when someone is sharing their trauma.
And on such a public stage, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people were tuned in and watching AOC's live stream, but Alyssa Milano being a celebrity and being in the public sphere, she knows what it's like to have a bunch of eyes on her. And I agree with you, very uncool for her to do that. And not funny, like nobody laughed.
Not funny at all. Anyway, if you have a Weird Things White Woman Did story. Also, feel free to email us. Y'all have shared some weird shit in the past that white women have done. So feel free to keep those coming. Again, you could email us at hola@locatoraradio.com and put that in the subject line. Weird things white women did.
And just to let you all know, we have been monitoring the wave of fake Tinas, the fake Latinas, the white ladies literally pretending to be of Latin American descent in different ways. We are keeping track. We are monitoring the situation. We will be putting out a fake Tinas episode in the future. So just FYI on that. Yes, we are aware. It's coming.
All right, y'all. So we're going to go into a quick song break, and then we will be right back to get into the main carne of today's episode.
Podcasteras peligrosas.
Don't feel like sitting in a waiting room right now? Planned Parenthood's got you covered as a leader in using new technologies to provide high-quality healthcare in ways that fit your life.
Through Planned Parenthood's virtual appointments, you can get high-quality, affordable care your way by phone or video. Trusted providers will listen, give information, and support you in all of your healthcare decisions.
Planned Parenthood's telehealth appointments are high-quality, affordable, and private, just like in-person visits. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it.
Planned Parenthood takes the stress out of healthcare and is ready when you are. Check out plannedparenthood.com/locatora to learn more and book a virtual appointment. That's plannedparenthood.org/locatora.
All right, and we're back. So some updates. Almost a year ago, when the pandemic started, we began to call our podcast Quarantine Confidential. We assumed that it would be a temporary broadcast only lasting the lifespan of the pandemic. However, the pandemic is still here. So this is our way of life for the foreseeable future. And we're going to do what we do best, and we're just going to podcast through it. So thank you for being here and continuing to rock with us, even in the midst of global collapse. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for rocking with us through all of this. And if you're a new listener, welcome. Welcome to the best side, the dark side, the light side. I don't know, but welcome. You have arrived.
Welcome to Localandia. It's comfy here. It's cute here. But, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. Life continues. Life finds a way. As my fave Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park number one, right? He's like, life is chaos. Life finds a way. Like, life is going to continue. And I keep that wisdom with me always, everywhere I go. And so, like, with that energy, I'm on OnlyFans. I started my OnlyFans in December. I said, you know what? I'm at home. And I have Wi-Fi, and OnlyFans is a thing. And I have some cute, like, lingerie, boudoir, and bikini photos to share with the world. So I set up my OnlyFans account. I love it. Subscribe. I'm at @Mala_Munoz. You can also DM me on Instagram, but I can send you my profile link if you would like to subscribe. I put a lot of my skating videos on there, my twerking videos. It's a cute time. Yeah.
When Mala told me about creating an OnlyFans, I was like, well, your employer Locatora Radio approves this. You should do it because your employer will not be angry. Go ahead.
And I appreciate that. Since Diosa is technically my boss, I was like, Diosa, do I have your blessing?
No, locatora's your boss, not me.
Yes, but I have to have the Diosa blessing before I pursue a new venture. So I got it. And at one point, I had gotten my rating to the top 1.8% of OnlyFans creators. I'm currently back at like the 2% of OnlyFans creators. You got to really work with it to maintain your rating. But it's a lot of fun. I'm not going to share with you guys how much money I've made. I'm thinking I'm going to do down the line some type of a reveal, but only after I've made a substantial amount of money. So help me towards that goal. Subscribe.
Yes, head on over to Mala's OnlyFans, especially if you have a man that follows her anyway. Maybe you both follow and you both watch.
Facts. You know what? You make a really good point.
Might as well. You might as well pay, you know.
Yes, you make a fabulous point. The other thing that's new that I mentioned a little bit earlier in the episode is a room on Clubhouse that I'm co-moderating with my friend, Lorianne Stacy, aka the LA Stacy. It's called Very Much Single, and it's for the chronically self-partnered, Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific time / 9 p.m. Eastern time on Clubhouse.
All right. And so getting into the main Garne content of today's episode, I'm going to reveal on Locatora Radio. I have shared on my personal IG, only on my personal Instagram, but at the end of December, around Christmas time, I tested positive for COVID, and it was a very intense time. I like don't even know how to describe it. It was awful. I doubt any like COVID non-believers listen to the podcast, you know, but like this shit is it's real. It's real. And it was horrible. And one of the only things that got me through it was my friends and my family that literally brought me meals, Mala included. Mala came multiple times and left food at my doorstep. And she brought me tamales. She brought me caldo. She brought me groceries. And those are things that like really kept me going. So just I share that because maybe you don't have COVID. Maybe you have never had COVID. But if you know someone that does, that's something that's really helpful because even asking for help is really difficult because you're so exhausted that it's hard to just pick up the phone. It's hard to call. It's hard to text, all those things. So and I would say I had like a mild-ish case of COVID, and it was still really awful. And so that's also what delayed the launch of season 5. And so we took our time, you know, usually in December we'd be planning, we'd be plotting, we'd be scheduling the photo shoots, all of that so that we can launch in January. But we both decided it would be best to take it easy, to delay the launch because we are our own bosses. Well, I guess y'all are kind of our bosses. Our listeners are a little bit of our bosses.
That's true. And they're a little bit bossy sometimes.
A little bit bossy. Y'all ask us, when is the new season coming? It's here. It's here. But yeah, that's the reason things had to just be delayed for a little bit. But here we're back. And that also is what inspired the content for today's episode. Influencers traveling in the pandemic and the
state of the
pandemic in Los Angeles, especially because that's where we're reporting from, where we're recording from, and also just globally, the pandemic is not over.
It's really not. It's like really nowhere close to being over. I saw some predictions floating around in different places that we really will not be out of this until 2023. You know, this is like a long haul situation unless by some miracle we turn it around completely. I have my doubts just given, you know, the past year. But it's really not customary for us on Locatora to necessarily do like community call outs or like community drags. And that's really not what this is. But we are going to ask some questions out loud and talk about some of the observations we've made. We're also going to bring in a little bit of research about the state of COVID here in Los Angeles, where we are based. And one of the things that I want to ask of like our influencer community, because we are considered influencers, micro influencers technically, but we've gotten press, we sell merch, we do speaking gigs, we have a following, we have people who call themselves our fans, and there are other creatives and influencers who are like us, right? Who are LA based or who are from other major cities, who have products that they sell, who market predominantly to a Latinx demographic, who are heavily active on social media, who have a lot of followers, who have a lot of self-proclaimed fans, who have influence, who have impact, and who have platforms. And we think it's really important to talk about if we have so much influence and impact in our communities and we engage in commerce with our communities, what responsibilities do we have to the people we're selling to the people we're marketing to the people we're speaking to when it comes to the pandemic? Like, what are our responsibilities as influencers, pandemic-wise, and the things that we share? Because I've noticed that we have some influencers in our community who seemingly have been on nonstop vacations since the beginning, since this thing started. Flights, Airbnbs, but like all over the place, like a lot of them, like over and over, and all of it documented online, you know? It confuses me. And you've noticed something similar too, right?
Yeah, I think like one thing is, and granted, everyone is able to set their own rules, their own standards of what is safe to them. Some people feel comfortable renting an Airbnb somewhere in their city, right? They want a little staycation to get away and they feel that that's relatively safe. Maybe it is, right? And so I think that that's one thing, because I did do a poll on my Instagram asking folks if they felt it was safe to travel right now. And I didn't clarify via airplane, via internationally. And so I did have some conversations with people about that. And they expressed to me that they felt road trips were safe if you make very few stops. Getting an Airbnb maybe in a Big Bear in a cabin, like is relatively safe if it's with someone in your household. But specifically, I want to clarify, we're talking about airplane travel, international travel, going to Latin America, because that's what we've seen, going to the Caribbean. And yeah, there's lots of thoughts. There's lots of feelings. I think that it's very interesting to see what folks are willing to call out. Not that I condone call outs, encourage call outs. I don't think that they're actually productive. But I think that during a pandemic, when people are literally dying, no one is willing to say anything. And that is where I have questions, because it's really not hyperbole to say people are dying. You know, I think as millennials, like, we really do speak in hyperbole a lot of the times, but it's really not hyperbole to say people are dying, right? Like that meme of Kim or of, is it Chloe or Courtney saying, Kim, Courtney, people are dying. It's true. People are dying. It's not hyperbole. And so that is the energy that I am feeling right now. Like, people are dying, and our people within our community that have influence are traveling. And I've had people say to me in my DMs, it's interesting that it's community when it's for profit, when you want to sell something, but not when it comes to keeping our community safe. And I think that that is 1000% valid and real and should be questioned and challenged.
I agree with you. And literally speaking of 1000%, from the LA Times, since November 2020, deaths of Latinos due to COVID have increased by 1000%, to quote LA County Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer. Our Latinx community is, in fact, bearing the worst of this pandemic. From the same LA Times article, right? Latinos make up over 50% of waiters and waitresses, cashiers, janitors. I mean, the service industry is very, very, very heavily populated by Latinx people, which is why so many folks in our communities are dying and are struggling. And it is so disappointing to see what appears to be just either ignorance of the situation or disregard and lack of care for the situation. And you're right, everybody's going to do what they want to do. But we've been online and creating for long enough that we have seen and been on the receiving end of, as have our friends, on the receiving end of like really, really like intense, angry, like call outs and drags for things like, I remember I was in Mexico City last year, like this time last year, and me and Monica were on the phone with Jessica because she was being horrifically dragged on Twitter for days because of a haiku she wrote, because people didn't like that she was writing poetry about the experience of her immigrant mother, right? Something like that is honestly so ridiculous to me because it's a haiku, you know? And for every one reader who doesn't like the haiku, there's going to be 100 other readers who do like the haiku. But for whatever reason, something as benign as a haiku shared on Twitter or using one wrong word in a campaign, or maybe not presenting a project in a way that is completely in alignment with the views of every single Instagram user, has been enough of a reason to really like call women every name in the book, to drag them through the fucking mud across multiple platforms. And we've seen it happen. But what's the point? What's the goal? Did any of those drags correct social injustice to the point that we could avoid a global disaster like the one we have now? All those drags took place. All those callouts took place. They were intense, they were vicious, and they were fucking mean. We still ended up in a place where Latinos are dying at the highest rates, where people of color and immigrant people are suffering the most, poor people are suffering the most. All of those drags happened. Not one of them contributed to a safer or more stable world for the most impacted individuals. And when I see non-Black Latinos like doing these ridiculous drags all the time, I'm like, what are you building? What are you contributing to? And who are you speaking for or on behalf of, really and honestly? And those same folks who had so much energy repeatedly for such benign stuff, like you said, are nowhere to be found when now we're dealing with literal death, like mass death. Where's the anger? Where's the energy? Where are the drags? It's really revealing, because if they worked, if they made life better for people, if they brought about justice, then we would be employing them right now. But they don't work, right? They are good for exposing people. They're good for letting large amounts of people know that something is happening, but they're also sites of performance. All of these platforms are performance spaces. Even the most self-righteous, woke tweeter or Instagram user engaging in a drag, that person is engaging in a performance. That person is performing, and that person is often clout chasing, because a lot of people have learned that if you engage in drags, you can increase your own social media presence and you can establish a name for yourself as being woker than the last one, right? It's a tactic that a lot of people use. And it's just interesting that that tactic is not useful for people right now. And I think that's one reason why people are not doing it. Because it's not useful, and they're really not engaging in the drags for the betterment of anybody. I don't know. It's crazy. It's too much.
Yeah, it's wild because, I mean, I don't follow a lot of white influencers. I mean, I do follow quite a few beauty influencers. They're all Black women or Latinas in the beauty space. And so my point is that even influencers not in our community, like the ones that are still traveling, are still like the people of color. And so it's not like we can sit here and be like, oh yeah, like white people are traveling to Mexico and the Bahamas and Puerto Rico. Yeah, they are, but it's not just them. You know, it's also, it's our own people. It's like the Latinx community that I've seen, that I follow, that are also traveling right now. And it just really disappoints me, shocks me. Whenever things like this happen, I always like ask myself, like, who's in your circle? Like, I ask myself about the other person, because if I'm doing some dumb shit, I know my friends are going to be like, girl, no, like, first of all, don't do it. Second of all, don't post that what you're doing, you know? And that, I mean, the fact that you're on a trip and you're consciously posting, like, tells me, like, you really don't care.
Truly, truly. At minimum, don't post. At minimum, post yourself wearing a damn mask, like you're pretending to participate in the public safety and public health measures that have been recommended. Like, again, it's a performance space. So the performance that you're putting on is one of someone who doesn't give a shit. You could perform and pretend to care, you know? So all the choices being made are fascinating. We're talking about multiple people.
Right.
Multiple people. This is a trend.
Across fields, across influencer spaces, not like just one particular, like not just media, right? Lots of people. Earlier, I stated that I posted a poll, or I did a poll on my Instagram stories, and I had like a little over 1,000 people respond, and like 96% of the people that answered said that influencers do encourage people to travel during the pandemic with their posts. I, for one, don't feel I would be influenced to travel right now. I may be influenced to purchase something. So I was curious to see, or to ask, like, what do people think right now? Like, do influencers actually encourage people to travel during a pandemic? We know that influencers do encourage people to purchase a particular product, but how does it work out? What does it look like in a pandemic when it comes to traveling? And 96% of the people that answered said, yeah, it does encourage traveling. It does make it look safe, or it does make it seem like a lot of fun. And like, maybe I should be doing that too. And I feel like there's a form of gaslighting that's happening right now when we see people living their life like they're not in a pandemic. Because if you're on the end where you've been really cautious, you haven't been going anywhere. You haven't been dining out. You've been literally safer at home. It can kind of feel like, what have I been doing for the past year? If these people are out at a restaurant and literally traveling to another country, and it feels like you're a little crazy.
I agree completely, because I have felt that way, right? Like, I turned 29 this year. I'm going to turn 30 within the pandemic. Like, this is dragging on, and we're losing our years of our life, right? I mean, our 20s are not necessarily the end all be all, but it's an important decade, you know? And I've had the exact same thoughts. Like, am I being ridiculous by not traveling? But no, that's not the reality. And there's also a difference between folks who like have to travel for work, you know, dragged on for so long that, again, life has to continue. People have to work because we are being forced to, right? But there is a huge difference between traveling for work, traveling out of necessity, traveling in an emergency, and literally vacation hopping for months.
It's 1,000% different. I also think it's so irresponsible. One thing is the family, the coworkers, the space you're going to return to after traveling, but you don't have to care or think about the people that you left behind that served you your food, made your drinks, served your water, cleaned your hotel room. You know, all the people that you've interacted with at the airport, at the hotel, wherever it is that you go, you don't have to care about them. You know, like for me, like that's what it tells me when people do that. Like, you don't care about all the service workers that you interacted with while on this trip. And they may not have the infrastructure, their countries, their cities, their states, wherever it is that they live, may not have the infrastructure to handle COVID. And that's just the reality. And to me, that's like one of the most heartbreaking things is you get to go on your vacation, have fun, do it in the name of self-care and mental health, return, and who gives a fuck about the people that live there daily?
Truly. And to be clear, we are not perfect people. We're doing our best. We are learning along the way, and we're trying to survive this thing too. We have also been affected and impacted by the pandemic. Diosa literally just got through talking about how she survived and her household survived because Diosa comes from a household full of essential workers, you know? And I lost a coworker at the beginning of the pandemic, like the second week into it, you know, like I lost a family friend a couple months ago to the pandemic. We're losing people. You know, we or the people that we know are getting sick. We are not speaking about this from a place of distance. You know, we're not far away from this issue. We're in LA. We're like in the center of it all, and we're trying to survive, and we are being impacted too. So for all of those reasons, we've been talking about this and making these observations just entre nos and just talking in the DMs and texts, but we really felt like, you know what? We are podcasteras peligrosas, and you are tuning in at your own risk. So let's talk about this, because if you don't stand up for anything, you stand for nothing, right? And if nobody's gonna bring the anger, because I think we're really talking about genuine heartfelt anger, you know? And sometimes it's okay to hear when women are angry, when it's justified, when it's realistic. And we just want to put out a call to our folks to do better. Do better. Be better, do better, because people are dying. People are dying.
I literally see a new GoFundMe daily from either someone that I know that has lost a relative here or in Latin America. I have a tía in Peru that is non-ambulatory. Her caregiver has COVID, so she had nobody caring for her. And we were like figuring out care here in the US via WhatsApp. We were all like coordinating with our primos that live in Peru, and everyone is affected in some way or another. And if you haven't been, I'm happy for you. Keep staying safe, keep being safe, make right choices, you know, like it really comes down to a lot of the choices that we make, because we have been left alone to handle this, to be safe, to be healthy, to keep going, because our state government has left us, our federal government all of last year didn't care, left us to die. And so a lot of it has come down to individual choices. So what you do does matter.
Yeah. I mean, indoor dining has been opened up again. They opened up indoor dining and the malls were already open. The shopping was still happening. They opened the indoor dining after the city lifted the daily limit on cremations, because there were so many dead bodies piling up in LA that the crematoriums needed to cremate more bodies than they're even allowed to. And that's why our already horrible air quality, beyond the wildfires, beyond the smog, we've been breathing crematorium air because they're cremating so many bodies in LA. But you want to go on nonstop vacations. You want to go to Tulum. No.
Right. You want to go to Tulum. Also, like, one day we will unpack like tourism as colonialism.
Yeah.
We'll unpack that one day. But I want to like just mention that because that is all related. You're literally going with your colonizer energy to other parts of the world. And you can come back and get your healthcare and get your vaccine or get your COVID test when not everybody even has access to COVID test. And we're still in the thick of it. We are still in the thick of it. And like, keep in mind, pre-pandemic, right? Funeral costs were so expensive. And mm-hmm. now, like, because funeral homes are so impacted, like, I hate to say this, because it's awful, because just the idea of it is horrible. But people are having to pay daily to keep their loved ones at the mortuary because there's no space at the funeral homes to have a service to bury their loved ones. So they're paying to store their loved, keep the body of their loved one at a mortuary daily. That daily cost is like $100+. I saw a GoFundMe literally because someone was saying we have to pay for a month to keep our loved one at a mortuary. And so this is just the hard reality.
This is the hard reality. And we are sitting in our houses and working through it and podcasting through it. And just what else can we do but talk about it, you know, but stay inside and disinfect and just talk about it. We're podcasters. We speak about the world around us. And so we felt an obligation to bring this conversation to our very first episode of season 5. Like, we needed to prioritize this talk.
Yeah, absolutely. We had some other things slated, but things got moved around because we saw so many of our community traveling. And so we had to bring this to y'all's attention. There are times where we do not cover everything. I don't want our lack of an episode to signify we don't care about something. I don't want it to ever appear that way. There are times where we can't move things around. Timing doesn't work out. We record later than things have happened. There's always a reason, right? But because it's the first episode of the season, we're still in a pandemic. We're in a new year. We felt called to do this. So thank you for listening and rocking with us. We know this episode or this content isn't easy, especially if you've lost a loved one. Take care of yourself if this was a hard episode for you. If you're recovering from COVID, I'm with you. You know, we got this. Take it easy. You know, we'll feel like we're on the other side at some point.
Absolutely. Thank you for listening. Thank you for holding space. We always love to hear your thoughts. We always want to hear from you. Make sure you leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think about this conversation. Maybe you've noticed something similar, or maybe you have a different perspective than we do. It's hard for me to try and conjure up a different perspective on this particular topic, given everything, but we do want to hear from our listeners. And as always, you can DM us, you can comment on Instagram. Yeah.
And so on that note, thank you again for tuning in. I also want to let you know that we have a Patreon exclusive interview with actress and costumer Alora Casados, aka Jackie Ontiveros, on the hit Netflix series Mr. Iglesias. We're going to share with y'all a sneak peek of our interview with Alora, where she shares how she went from costumer to landing a recurring speaking role on the Netflix show.
So head to Patreon for the full interview and watch Mr. Iglesias on Netflix if you haven't. It's a really fun show with an all-star cast. Oscar from The Office is on this show, who I love. I actually know Alora from high school, so this is a really fun interview. We talk about being high school theater nerds and how she had a really interesting time working on this show. And then she ended up getting a recurring speaking role for the entire, third season. So head to patreon.com and become a patron. All right, Locamores. And don't forget that Locatora now has merch. We have a ton of merch and it's so exciting to see you all rock your Locatora merch. So if you haven't gotten yours yet, head to Shop Loquita. It's our online store at locatoraradio.com. You can also subscribe to Besitos, our newsletter, at locatoraradio.com, or become a patron at patreon.com for first dibs and discount codes on all things Locatora.
Yes. And thank you so much again, Locamores, for tuning in. We missed y'all. We're looking forward to season 5. We hope that we can one day share space in real life with y'all once again. But until then, you can tune in on all streaming platforms. If you want extra additional content, you can head over to patreon.com/locatora_radio. And as always, you know, follow us on the social media. Let us know what you think of the episode and we will catch you next time.
Besitos.
Locatora Radio. Bullshit, a radiophonic novella.
Locatora Radio, hosted by
Mala Munoz
and Diosa Femme.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-213 o visita prevnar20enespañol.com.
Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.